Hello there, sex fans. Welcome back. Today is Monday, April 21st, 2014, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge. And I'm your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. This here is the Erotic Mind Show, don't you know? And as you probably know, this is the series where I chat with noted erotic artists, both visual and literary, from all over the freaking world. Today, we turn our attention to the visual end of the artistic spectrum, because we are about to meet one of the most talented photographers I have had the pleasure of interviewing. My guest today is Ryan Edward Scott. Now, if that name is unfamiliar to you, it might be because Ryan calls very little attention to himself. He lets his work speak for himself. However, if you know anything about erotic photography, you have probably seen his work. And wait till you get a load of the samples that he has selected for the slideshow in today's podcast posting. It's pretty astonishing. Don't miss it. It's on my site, drdicksexadvice.com. Now be sure to visit Ryan on either of his marvelous Tumblr sites or his Pinterest site. He's also on Facebook, and I've collected all these links in today's podcast posting too on drdicksexadvice.com. Before we get to all of this, a word from our sponsor, Dr. Dick's Stockroom. You'll find this treasure trove of sexually stimulating toys, implements, and fetish wear and gear right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the Dr. Dick's Stockroom banner in the sidebar of my site. You'll surely enjoy shopping at Dr. Dick's Stockroom because it's just so damn fun and, I might add, easy. Yessiree sex fans, you can spare yourself the embarrassment of skulking down to your local sex emporium to pick up all those nasty toys you've been drooling over. You can forget about seedy storefronts in unsavory neighborhoods, and you don't have to worry about leering salesmen scrutinizing what you buy. Why? Because you shop from the privacy of your own computer. That's why. Thanks to Dr. Dick's Stockroom, it's never been easier or more discreet to be a big fat pervert. Be sure to take a moment out of your hectic schedule and visit my stockroom today. You will be so glad you did. Okay, on with the show. Welcome to Dr. Dick's Sex Advice, Ryan Edward Scott, and thank you for opening yourself up and allowing us to plumb the depths of your big, fat, uncut, erotic mind. Now that you're here, would you like to say hello to all the nice people?
Hello, thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
I should also mention that there are sure to be a big fat load of perverts in our audience, too. I mean, they are some of my most loyal fans, so would you like to say hello to them as well?
I certainly would. They're one of some of my most loyal fans as well, so I have big appreciation for them. Thank you.
Yes, good. I include myself in that category, don't you know, because I am. So before we begin in earnest, I absolutely need to ask you, how is it that you have three first names while there are other people out there who don't have any? Don't you think that that's more than just a little bit selfish?
I can't take a lot of credit for that. Parents came up with those names, and some of them are family names, and some are not, but... Well, I guess I'm just lucky.
Such a talent. As you know, I'm a big fan of your website, photointerd.tumblr.com. It's so unique, and your photography is exquisitely beautiful and sometimes unsettling, and often the images are both things at the same time. Is your photography an outgrowth of your inner life, or does your photography infuse your personal life?
You know, I think it's a little bit of both, actually. Uh-huh. I think I am drawn to things that sometimes make me a little uncomfortable, or that I'm exploring something that I'm questioning in my personal life.
Oh, good. That makes sense. I have as a late developed a thing about bearded men for some reason or another, and they are all over my Tumblr site. So some while ago I was scrolling through my feed when I came upon the most stunning naked bearded man photographed lying in a lush green vegetation, and I was like, holy cow, I gotta find out about this. And that's how I discovered you. It's kismet, I tell you. Now that you know my secret obsession, could you tell me something about that series? Who, when, why, how, where?
Well, you know, I don't think you're the only one that has a beard fetish.
No, I'm sure not. There are whole feeds, there are whole sites about really bearded incredible. Men and stuff.
Yeah. You know, I originally met Adam through my work with Falcon and Raging Stallion Studios. Mm-hmm. And he is one of the few performers who really stood out to me as being just a really genuine, sensual performer. And that, I can tell you, was very rare to see. And
So he's we all call everybody a porn star, even if you've only been in one scene, you're a porn star. Isn't that odd? So, but he is a porn performer, or has
he
been.
He is a porn performer, and you know, I would say he has star quality about him.
I'll say. Because, holy mackerel.
You know, his career really took off.
Right. Be sure to tell him I want to marry him.
You'll have to stand in line.
Oh, no. See, that's... Ah, dude.
But anyway, I met him on set, and he just really stood out, and we had a conversation about working together, and he happened to be in the city at the same time that I was, and, you know, it just kind of all worked out, and we just went on a little hike up into the woods near Twin Peaks, and that was how that happened.
Wow. And when you say the city, for all those people out there who don't know the code, it's the city. No other city, but just that city. I love it. So I love the juxtaposition of your naturescapes with your urbanscapes. And despite the very different content, they all have an erotic component to them. Not smutty necessarily, but definitely sensual. It's like you are making love to the thing or person that you're shooting. Does that sound weird? Am I reading too much into this?
You know, I don't think that sounds weird at all. when I'm shooting, I try to follow my instincts and whatever catches my eye, and you know, there's always going to be like a sensual part of that, mm-hmm. and that's good that's coming through, because you know, that's the intention.
Right. Good. So, do you suppose that you bring the sensual mindset to wherever you go, and it just happens to express itself as you raise the camera to your face?
Well, I guess it's a part of how I see things, okay. And so in that way, yeah, I guess I do bring it with me. I guess really it's about finding the truth in an image, and if I'm doing that, that's really the most important thing.
So, are you kind of equating truth with sensuality? I mean, is the truth sensual? I mean,
I think it is too.
That's a wonderful thing that you raise, because I've been thinking about that a lot, and I mean, if it's real, if it's authentic, mm-hmm. there's got to be some kind of pulse in it, and I think that pulse is what makes it sensual, but there you go.
I agree, yeah. In fact, I think that when you really let yourself go in like a creative way, it's impossible not to let that kind of flow through you.
Yeah, so, right. I want to talk about this at length a little bit later in our conversation, because I think that, you know, even somebody who is painting flowers or still lifes or whatever, you know, or shooting whatever, is if it's done well, I mean, there's this sensual capacity to it that I think is just so compelling.
Mm-hmm.
Good. So try as I might, I wasn't able to find an artist statement or mission statement on any of your sites that I visited, and God knows I looked. did I miss something? And is that an oversight on your part, or are you just not one for talking much about yourself?
I think that I'm a really private person, and part of that is that I'm just so, like, secretive in this way, but also it's just never, it's been more about showing the work rather than promoting myself, and that will have to change at some point.
Right. And besides, there's nobody listening in on this conversation, so
Right. Yeah, good for that.
and you know what? I tried to find you on Facebook, and there's another Ryan Scott. But he's a famous chef, and I started following him on Facebook and on Twitter and stuff like that. And he followed right back. And I, yeah, all right.
He is quite famous, and he lives in San Francisco,
Yeah, I
actually.
know.
Whenever I make a reservation at a restaurant, they always think it's him, and they get excited.
Oh, good for you. There you go. I use Richard Wagner, and they think it's the composer, so, but anyhow. So apparently, from what I can find out about you, is that you have traveled the world, and you do this for your art, or at least for the joy of it. Do you find your muse in the places where you travel?
I think that there's most definitely a part of that that is inspirational. Traveling in general, it opens your mind, and it creates a freshness. And there are certain places that really stand out as being particularly inspiring, and that I would consider like acting as a muse. I went to India last year, and that was incredibly
Oh my goodness,
eye-opening.
yeah.
I mean, you can't travel through that country without it, touching you in some
Right,
way.
right.
But I guess the most formative place that I've traveled would be France. I lived for 2 years in Paris,
Wow.
and it definitely shaped the way I see things and the way I see the world and myself in the world. There's nothing better than like traveling to really remind you that you're very small and
Oh, it's so
insignificant.
true.
Yeah.
And those of us who happen to live in the United Snakes, we have this navel-gazing thing, and that it's all about us and how we see the world and how we live our lives and stuff. And it's just so inconsequential, except that we have a really big stick. And we threaten the world with it all the time, but if we didn't, people would just say, "Well, that's nice that you're from America, but big deal."
Yeah.
So, besides Paris and your fondness for India, any other favorite places?
I found Joshua Tree in the desert
Oh
to
gosh, yes.
be really incredible. I mean, I would love to go back there and do more work.
There is a Benedictine monastery in Joshua Tree, in Bellarmine.
I didn't know that. Interesting.
Oh, I was a Catholic priest for 20 years.
Wow, I thought I did not know
There's a lot you don't know, Ryan
that.
Edward Scott. Well, this is beside the point. But one year before I was ordained, I did a retreat there in at Bellarmine, and it used to be an old chicken farm, and it's the Benedictines who run it, and this was 100 years ago when I was a young person, they are all artisans and artists. So should look it up, Benedictines at Bellarmine in
I
Joshua Tree.
will. Yeah, I'm
It's
going there
outstanding.
next week,
Oh,
so.
cool beans. Good for you. Well, don't mention my name because you'll get in trouble.
I
Because God hates me, and so do the Benedictines. No, not necessarily. So, at the risk of diminishing your artistic endeavors, I want to call attention to your day job. It just so happens that your day job also involves a camera. So, care to tell us about that?
Sure. I have worked for Falcon Studios and Raging Stallion Studios for the last 5 years doing promotional photography for them.
You might want to tell the humans out there who are not familiar with, the ones who have been living under a rock for the last.
That would be gay
Oh,
porn.
good for you. Excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, that's kind of unique. That's a skill set completely different from the stuff that you do, you know, to please yourself, I'm guessing.
It is very different. I mean, there's of course like a sensual sexual component, right? That
right.
You know, so there is some common ground, but you know, when it comes to porn, I'm creating the aesthetic of the studio, so
right.
I'm not really putting my own personal take on it as much as I am creating a product for them, and so it's a very different thing.
Right. And besides, you know, it's all about featuring a particular, like, presentation. I mean, I used to shoot porn with my video production company, Daddy O Productions, and I was very pleased about the stuff that we did. Mm-hmm. And some of the photographers did extraordinarily good job, you know, promoting our models and things like that. But it wasn't particularly artistic, you know, in like, you know, artistic nudie kinds of stuff. But it, you know, was featuring big old hard-ons and stuff like that. So, and very curious, everybody was smiling, you know, with the big hard-on. Like, oh, okay. So, anyhow. Do you ever do commissioned work? Has anyone ever come up to you and said, hey, I've seen your work and I want you to shoot me or my wife or my husband or us together, you know, in some kind of like boudoir kind of thing?
You know, occasionally that does happen. I get a lot of people who contact me having seen my work and they ask for me to do photos for them, mostly for their dating websites.
Oh, right.
Ooh. Yeah, they need like sexy pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes that can be fun. It's interesting to work with people that I wouldn't normally work with.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone who's willing to, like, make themselves, put themselves in a vulnerable place, you know, that's always interesting.
That's kind of compelling, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, they must want to look really good. They want to have you shoot them. Do you kind of like, you know, okay, here's how we're going to set this up so that we can, you know, make a silk purse out of this sow's ear?
It's really about talking to them about their goals and what they're comfortable doing. Because, you know, not everyone wants it to be like a boner shot. You know, they might want something a little bit more like
taffeta.
Demure, yeah.
I'm just on fire today. Holy shit.
Yeah. But it's really about finding what they want and trying to put them in the best light possible. Yeah,
literally and figuratively.
Yeah, exactly.
So before we begin discussing erotic art in general and more about your work in particular, let's talk about something really interesting. Let's talk about you. Can you give us a brief bio? Tell us lots of interesting things about yourself. Where you were born and raised and schooled and. Do you like muscle magazines and gladiator movies? Do you have a husband, a partner, a pet, that sort of thing?
Well, I guess to begin, I was born in Missoula, Montana.
Oh, cool.
And I grew up in Montana until I was about 17. Mm-hmm. My parents are Jehovah's Witnesses, so it was
kidding.
Yeah, it was a very strict, religious upbringing, super sexually repressed. And I can't talk about my work without mentioning that, because I feel like it had like a tremendous impact in how I feel.
That opens my eyes considerably. Oh my gosh. Wow. So making up for lost time, I'm guessing.
In a way, yeah. And a lot of what I've done has been about an exploration of that and how I've responded to it over time. So,
and excuse me for interrupting, but this is just earth shaking. We talked moments ago about, you know, authentic art being telling the truth,
mm-hmm.
and so much of what passes for spirituality or religiosity, anyhow, in our culture, is not about the truth. And so that's fascinating. That is really fascinating. Good for you. I'm sorry I interrupted.
I think you're right. I think with any religion, Jehovah's Witnesses are pretty convinced that they have the secret to it all.
Sure.
And they're very, you know, they feel like they have God on their side.
Yes.
And it's very difficult to talk to anyone.
Yes. When you have God on your side, as I do, because, you know, we know it all, so there's that.
Exactly. And that's very frustrating to have a conversation with someone who is so black and white.
Uh-huh. It is. It's them and us, and me against the world kind of thing. And of course, the siege mentality that comes with like being persecuted or being the chosen among the heathen.
Yeah.
It's a really, really difficult thing,
Well,
goodness
there's a
gracious.
pretty major martyr complex
Oh yes,
within that.
really, most assuredly. Wow. So do go on. I'm fascinated. This is amazing stuff.
So I very quickly left Montana as soon as possible. I moved to San Francisco without really knowing much about it, and
Oh, good Lord. Yay.
not really knowing how gay it was. And I've lived here ever since. I went to USF, which is a Jesuit school, so
Oh
we have
yes, oh
our
my
Catholic
goodness.
background in common. And I spent 2 years in Paris, somewhere in there.
Wow.
And I've been doing photography for the last 10 years, I suppose. Though I was always involved in the arts, but I didn't really start to take it super seriously, and it didn't become like an obsession and like a means to a career until, the last 5 years or so.
Wow. That's fascinating. When I moved to the Bay Area in 1972 to do my graduate work at the Jesuit School of Theology in Berkeley, a friend of mine said, "Oh my gosh, you're a stone's throw away from San Francisco." I was living in Oakland, and he goes, "Oh, San Francisco is so wonderful." She said, "75% of the men are gay, and the other 25% can be had." And then when I moved to the city to do my doctorate, the city, of course, it was the best thing that had ever happened to me. I just absolutely flourished in San Francisco, both literally and figuratively. It was absolutely grand. So, very cool.
Well, there is something super liberating about moving to a city where no one could care less about
Right,
your
right.
sexuality.
It's true. It most assuredly is. So, husband, partner, pet.
Right. I have a partner of 10 years,
Wow.
and
I took you for like a 19-year-old, so, but I'm guessing not.
no, we're old men, yeah.
21. All right then.
Let's see, what else?
No pets.
No pets, no. I had a dog and she was very old and she passed away, and
Yeah,
I haven't
mine
been able to
too.
commit to another one.
Yeah, mine too, last year. Just very distressing.
It's heartbreaking.
It is most assuredly that. Absolutely. I wrote my second children's story, the Longfellow in the Deep Hidden Woods, and dedicated it to her. It's about a wiener dog and his adventures. It's very
That's
sweet.
amazing.
You'll love it. I should
I
send you a copy. You'd love it.
would like that.
Good. I will.
Um,
Alrighty then. When did you start wielding a camera?
well, I got, like I said, I'd always been involved in the arts, but I didn't start to do photography until, I don't know, my mid to late 20s. And it began to be a serious hobby once I purchased a camera that could really do what I wanted to do, and since then it's been become more of an obsession than anything, and I really don't use other mediums anymore. It's interesting. I guess over time, like you find something that you really connect with, and
So you used to do art in other media then?
I did painting, and
Wow.
my favorite probably is pen and ink.
No
Yeah.
kidding.
A lot of drawing, figure drawing was one of my favorite things, and I guess that was really where I had my first taste of like erotic art was in figure drawing.
Do you ever incorporate the different media like pen and ink and photography, or is that too weird?
I have a bit. I haven't shown it publicly, but there have been times where I have done that. Yeah, a lot of I've done some collage work that involved both.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And that can be fun, for sure.
And at what time did the nudes and erotic stuff become part and parcel of your work?
Well, when I had a grown-up camera, I began the process of sort of learning how to use it, and I didn't really feel like I had the skill set to photograph other people, so I started photographing myself, and I did a whole series which was sort of an exploration of like my own sexuality and like
No
and being
kidding.
comfortable with my body, and so I did like a whole series of nudes, and
Wow.
that was how and I started posting them on my blog, and that was really how people started to kind of know who I was.
I guess. Holy
Yeah,
cow.
and it's actually really how my career started in general. One of the directors at Raging Stallion actually saw this series and asked me to photograph him. And
Wow.
after we had done that project, he asked me to do a movie. And then, you know, that things went from there, and they asked me to do many, many more movies.
So you perform too?
I don't perform in movies, no. And I've never done anything that's like graphically sexual, but I did do, you know, nude portraiture.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Also, where do you find your models, generally speaking? Or do they find you
You
at
know,
this
it's a
point?
mixture of both, actually. I find my models on various websites. Model Mayhem is a good one. Through friends, I get a lot of people who contact me asking if I would be willing to photograph them. And in those cases, they sometimes turn out to be the best models and the
Oh,
best.
interesting.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then, of course, I meet a lot of people through the studios. And I try to be selective with those because I want something more than like a beautiful body. I want them to have personality,
right.
and I want them to
right.
have something about them that's really special
yeah.
and that I connect with.
Right. Do you go around town and hand out your business card and say, you know, I'd like to take nude pictures of you?
You know, occasionally I do that, but it's very hard to pull that off without feeling like it's
That's keys.
but you know, it's all in your approach, and
yeah.
I try to be as like direct as possible so that people understand where I'm coming from, because you know, like not everyone has like the comfort level that I do with movies.
Oh, it's true. And you know, I when I was shooting for Daddy O, and you know, wherever I went, I would have Daddy O cards with me, and you know, a waiter or a barista or something like that, and I would say, you know what, you ought to be in pictures. And they'd go, really? And I'd hand them the card, and they'd either blush or, you know, some people got really embarrassed and thought I was, you know, an insult. And I thought, well, you know, how could it be an insult, you know, when it's somebody's stroking you about how you present yourself in the world. So, but, you know, folks don't
yeah.
always take kindly to that, as I learned.
It's true. Yeah, it's true. yeah, so as a result, I'm sure you learn the same thing, but tread lightly when it comes to offering strangers work.
Oh, gosh. So I'm guessing that the work that you do for Falcon is shooting in a studio. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
To be honest, the majority of my studio work is with Raging Stallion, and
I
then,
see. Good. Okay.
And then with Falcon, it's primarily in rented locations or outdoors.
I see.
So
wow.
It's kind of a mixture. Yeah.
So they have very different and distinct signatures. The two production houses. They happen to be related nowadays. Didn't used
right.
to be in the past, but and so their promotional materials. Correct me if I'm wrong, are trying to, you know, maintain that brand, yes?
They are, yeah. They make a concerted effort to keep the two separate
Good.
And to maintain, like, a distinct identity.
Wow.
I mean, of course, there's some back and forth with that because,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
it's impossible not to have
right,
that happen
right.
a little bit. But,
right.
but yeah, and like I said earlier, I am responsible for creating the aesthetic of each studio, and both studios have very different
yeah.
sort of ways of seeing things. So,
do you ever find yourself on, it's Monday, it must be Raging Stallions kind of thing? What are you? Are you a Raging Stallion star or a Falcon star? What the hell?
Usually I can tell just by looking at the model.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Sometimes they mix them up, but almost always you can tell.
Yeah.
yeah.
How interesting. How fascinating. how about did you do studio work for your personal artistic photography?
Well, I do some studio work. Though I prefer to shoot people in like an environment that they can interact with. And generally I prefer outdoors because I like natural light so much. And there's something that I really connect with people exploring their sexuality in like a public setting. You
Oh.
know, like making things that are like private moments, things that they wouldn't normally share in like a very
Right.
public way. Like I think there's something really compelling about that.
I'll say, and smutty, one might
Yes.
add. Holy cow, look at the time. I'm just looking at my clock and I see that our time is up for today. In fact, we're a little over. I've got four more pages of questions. Any chance you could come back next week and chat with us some more?
Yes, of course, I'd love to.
Oh, you're so easy.
Oh,
I love it. Thank you for not making me beg, although I would have, because that's the kind of person I am. Anyhow, before we conclude today, would you give us your website address, walk us around, tell us where we can buy your work, or at least contact you for, if we want to pester you for art?
yeah, you can find me at www.photointerdit.tumblr.com or at ryanedwardscott.tumblr.com. And if you're looking to buy work, I would recommend emailing me at ryanedwardscott@gmail.com.
Good. I'll have all links to that kind of stuff in our
Great.
podcast posting today. So until we speak again next week, we will be visiting you in cyberspace.
Great. Thank
Thank
you.
you. Pretty wonderful show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week at this same time for part two of my conversation with Ryan Scott and more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's Stockroom. Listen up, you guys. If your sex life needs a little sprucing up, and whose doesn't, I want you to mosey on over to my online sex emporium and pick out something really naughty for yourself, or one of the other pervs in your life. I mean, if you can't find what you're looking for in my stockroom, you'd just better call off the search right now. Dr. Dick has put together a dazzling array of products that will liven up even the most ho-hum sex life. Not sure what to buy? Take a look at my sex toy review site, drdicksextoyreviews.com. It's chock-full of swell gift-giving ideas. Look for the Dr. Dick Stockroom banner in the sidebar of my site, and remember, a portion of every sale comes back to us as support for these shows. How great is that? Until next time, remember, sex is good, and good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.